Blog Talk Radio.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
This is Brenda Pierce, the Empowered Nurse, with my co-host, Pat Kennedy. Welcome to the show, Pat.
Thank you so much. I'm so thrilled again to share the message of the Breast Show and integrative medicine. And I tell you, this show has been very impactful to the community.
Absolutely. And the Breast Show, Breast Show Radio is an outreach of the Breast Show in town. Our live event, which is April 17th, 2016, at the Lamplighter Inn, Wellington Street, London, Ontario. Join us from 8:30 to 4 as we bring the best of the breast out and help people to become empowered and know that prevention is the key to not only breast cancer, which is the leading number one killer of women, but also to other chronic illnesses and ailments that are impacting our world these days, that there is prevention is the key. So join us at the Breast Show in town. Vendor opportunities are also available for anybody wishing to get their message out and help blend their voice into how the wellness model, the integrative health model, is the key. So I'd like to just say a little bit about our amazing guest that is here with us today. Breast Show Radio welcomes Dr. Victoria Coleman. Dr. Coleman is a crowd favorite. Her intelligence and charm help audiences to easily break down the barriers and blocks to understanding dis-ease and to better make better choices in their own health journey. She has been a keynote speaker at the Breast Show in town, and we are pleased to have her as part of our beautiful and amazing roster of intelligence at the next Breast Show. Welcome to the show, Victoria.
Thank you very much, Brenda, and hello to Pat.
Great to have you.
Yeah, it's
pleasure
a thrill
to be here.
Well, one of the things that really strikes me is that you are a young, bright woman who has fallen into the world of naturopathic medicine. Can you tell us just a little snippet about your background and how you got to be somebody who is really well-respected in the integrative health world?
Well, thank you. It was a very nice introduction. I'm humbled by that. Respected, well, you know, I think you just, your path is through experience with patients who really are the people who enlighten you and force you to continue the journey of learning. And my background actually started as a chiropractor and working in a very wellness-based model. Our philosophy always has been the innate intelligence of the body, empowering a patient through proper lifestyle measures and structure, frame, nervous system, mind, body, spirit. So it's always been a part of me and how I approached health. And then that grew, my world grew in starting to use more nutritional work with my patients and watching them achieve more optimal health led me to a path into something called functional medicine. And at the time when I embraced this, I, as a DC, was sort of one of the odd ones. This is an environment that mostly is by the medical community and very active in the United States. So the journey just led me to go through a process and become certified in functional medicine. And taking all those different aspects and applying it to patient care now. And I continue this journey of learning as I complete my master's program in nutrition and functional medicine. So the path is really never, there's never an end to it, and that's a good thing.
Victoria, we want to also thank you for being on the Medical Advisory Board for PRIM Canada, People's Right to Integrative Medicine. And can you make clear to whoever's listening the comparison of the term functional medicine to integrative? I know there's different terminology out there, basically natural preventative, being very proactive, but could you please pull that all together for those that don't know?
Sure, I'll do my best. Integrative medicine, I think, is looking at the different aspects of healing available to us, whether that's different allied health professionals and everybody having a say and a part and an involvement in a patient's health journey. That's integrating all different approaches. That may mean there is traditional conventional medical care alongside with naturopathic, alongside with chiropractic, alongside with acupuncture, mind-body-spirit therapies. That is an integrative approach to health, whereas functional medicine is a little bit different in its approach, not that it's leaving out any of those components, but as the provider, you really look at a systems approach to a person, to root cause. You think of a tree and all the roots that go down into the soil. When you're working in a functional medicine model, you're really looking at what's happening with that patient from in utero, from the time they were born to what could be affecting them from epigenetic factors in their life all the way through to where they are today. That may involve reaching out to other practitioners and involving them, and quite often that is the case, but it's taking a very systems approach to an individual's health and really empowering and involving the patient to take control of their health. That's a big, I think, mistake we've seen over conventional care over the years, is removing control away from the patient and in a dictatorship, whereas healthcare is a relationship. And functional medicine really puts that patient in the driver's seat and empowers them, and you work with them to guide and coach.
That's an amazing point you've just made, and you also allude to the fact about epigenetics, but your talk, we're really excited to hear your perspective on genetics. That's all we hear about now are the genes and the headlines in the media about this gene, this potential, and here's how we're going to have new targeted therapies, all focusing on the genetics of that individual. And just to give us a little bit of excitement about your talk, can you just plant a few seeds about this genetic understanding from a functional medical perspective?
Yes, of course. So my favorite thing to say to a patient is genetics loads your gun and lifestyle pulls the trigger. And what that means basically is genes are not your destiny. We may have, maybe our bullets in that gun are a little crappy. We might have some mutations in our genes that make us susceptible, that put us maybe at a little greater risk than somebody who doesn't have that mutation. However, that is not the destiny. The expression of those genes is what lifestyle does and washes over those genes and pulls the trigger. So whether you pull the trigger or not is really in control of yourself. You have all kinds of mechanisms to keep genes in check, meaning they're important, they're interesting, they're ways for us. I'm very interested in testing SNPs and what sort of mutations people carry. And then instead of looking at, geez, this is scary, this might be what, how you could die, it's the opposite. This is like, wow, information for us to live. How can we actually live more optimally, understanding what those genes are telling us? Because genes are turned on or off based on our environment and our lifestyle. So just because we carry, for instance, the BRCA gene, if that's the case, no one is saying the expression of that gene is 100%. We have the ability to either silence that gene or turn that gene on. It's very much empowerment of the individual to take control. And, you know, the best that I can say with this is we know that 5 to 10% of cancers may be attributed to genetic defects. Only 5 to 10%. That's leaving 90 to 95% in environment and lifestyle. And it's interesting when you look at family history with breast cancer, when really there might be 30% of cases that have that, and even that's confounded by their environment. We don't know that just because they're the same family, but they may have been eating the same food, exposed to the same environment, so those genes are being washed over by the same things that could cause expression of something deleterious. And I think the most profound thing, you can't ignore what's happening when you look at the rise in breast cancer in certain areas, Japan, Singapore, Korea, once renowned for low rates, and now breast cancer has doubled and tripled over the past 40 years, or in China, doubled in the past decade. Something's happening here. And migration studies are our best example, truly. Japanese women that stay living in Japan, they move over to the U.S., what happens? A doubling in their rate of breast cancer compared to their controls back home. So what's happening?
It really does raise a huge question. And you know, when we talk about genetics, too, it's always like it's like a point of pain or a point of blame where we can kind of say, yeah, I knew I got the best of you, you know, and attributing it back to parental, you know, our parents and that sort of thing, when it really is not. And you raise some amazing information about why can one person who is inherently in a low breast cancer area all of a sudden seeing such a doubling and a tripling. And not only that, but it isn't really genetics, because then their children are in that higher breast cancer risk rate as well. So, you know, there is a lot of smoking guns out there right now, right?
I like your phrase, smoking guns, when I use the gun as the example for the genetics. But you're right. And I think, you know, I think research needs to move forward. Genetics are interesting, but let's stop the fear-mongering. Let's stop this feeling we have no control, and that I think the information is interesting, but it's misleading in ways it's brought to the public. And I really would love, my goal at this incredible event that you're involved with and putting on April 17th at the Breast Show is to really teach people how they can alter these lifestyle variables and enhance their genes, not worry about these genes as guiding them, but instead just enhance. We know that alcohol consumption, even a few drinks per week, is associated with an increased breast cancer risk. Do we want to know that? Well, that's your choice once you've given the information on how you want to act on it. But the key part is you can control it. And it's several hits. It's not one thing. It's multiple variables that are going to have a synergistic or additive effect. And one of the key things I really want to address in this is the role of stress. And if we look at what's happening, especially for women since the 1960s, 70s, the fight or flight response is incredible. It's in our Paleolithic background. We're meant to run from the saber-toothed tiger or kill him and bring back the food. But the key part was we came back to campfire. And we at campfire, we went parasympathetic in our nervous system. We relaxed. We sleep. We digest. We reproduce, we heal. What's happening today? We're running all the time in sympathetic. Mm-hmm. We are running from the saber-toothed tiger, and guess what's coming into our office every day? People struggling with, they can't sleep, they can't digest, they can't reproduce. There's no healing. So the role of stress here, we have to consider that. So what I really want to point out for people is I want to give tools to feel empowered and make the changes. And you're right, no blaming of the genetics on this. If you do happen to have that kind of crappy loaded gun, guess what? There's things we can do nutritionally to help those genes and either silence or turn on genes that are protective. So I think the main thing here I really want to bring home is this idea of control. Locus of control can come back to the individual. And that's that whole integrative approach of different professionals, because it's environment, it's your nutrition, it's your exercise, and we just have so much growth in the area of healthcare right now to help people and bring out the best in them and not live in this fear.
Victoria, that's what I love about your presentations, your analogies, and you simplify the message and you really get people to take a step back and reevaluate, because we get caught up in this stressful TikTok of everyday life. We're all on that treadmill, we're all stressed out, and there's not that time to refresh ourselves and boost our immunity, and if we don't take it. And truly, at the end of the day, and I love with Brenda and I, the Breast Show this year, it's taking on yet another very important message to take charge. Be proactive, but you've got to be educated. You've got to feel supported and get credible information. And the Breast Show, more than ever, 2016, will be to educate, empower, support you, and get you to look at the brilliance of what exists for you over here, not just, on the other hand, doing what you're told. Those days have to be over. It's a resounding message. It used to be you would slip through the cracks. Now it's a matter of life or death. You've got to get on your game. You've got to take charge. And we're here to help you, support you, and give you the goods. So it's really an exciting time. And even talking to the depths of genetics, it's wonderful to be able to make sense of it for the average person. We just can't be complacent, shut down with any kind of statement, but take back our control. And lifestyle, what a great buzzword. Lifestyle medicine, lifestyle choices we're making. We are. No one's got a gun at her head. I think it's brilliant. It's more than ever going to be empowering those individuals that show up to experience what's out there for them from an integrated perspective.
Yes, I agree. And I think that the simplification of the information is what has to happen, because you know what? It's not hard stuff. It's made sometimes to sound complicated and big words are used. And that's where that isolation of the patient to their own control happens. And I think it's important we break down those barriers. When I'm teaching patients about how to eat, I'm starting now to say, because of the industry, we're in this huge human experiment post-1970 with the introduction of the chemicals we've seen and adulteration of our foods. This is a huge human experiment happening right now. We're in the middle of it. And people are confused. So I know it's important to read labels and teach people about what these things mean, but I'm starting to even go back another step and say, when you look at food, decide whether your great-grandmother can eat that food or would have been able to eat that food, understand what that food is, recognize that food in the first place. And if she couldn't, don't eat it. And that may sound like an oversimplification, but it's a very easy way to bring back clean eating that the environment provides. And then I will give other tips that maybe are how can we, even on the things the environment is providing, ensure that it's a safer food that we could be eating from a perspective of chemical application. But I think it's about simplifying the message. Get up and move. Nobody says you have to go to the gym and work intensely. Now, I will say in some cases when you're dealing with a population that or a group of people that might have a certain condition, let's say you're dealing with type 2 diabetes, and there's some things that we can do very tailored for them, and they might be pretty intense in the beginning to really shift the needle and get them onto a pathway where health is there and they're changing their markers and things are moving quickly. But overall, from an overall lifestyle point of view, let's just get moving again. That's a big issue, obesity and the role of inflammation in the body and what's that turning on and off in this gene expression and irritating and, again, the stress response. You can't run around with all these chemicals and hormones that are meant to save your life for a short period of time and expect they're not going to cause effects that are negative downstream. You can't keep that button on all the time. So I'm trying to find really good ways to bring to the Breast Show and the people attending tools for them to walk away and go, I get that. That is not that complicated, and I can do it. I can implement that with my kids. I can really bring this to my workplace and really start to enact and do things that will bring out their optimal health and reduce the fear factor.
Definitely,
awesome.
The fear and judgment. Right?
One tiny little change can change the whole world.
That's right.
Yep.
It's diet alone. I could do a 3-hour lecture on diet alone and some of the tips, because diet has been linked to possibly a 50% role in breast cancer. And there's so much that can be done. So I revert back to that. Would great-grandma know what this is? Because things like pizza pops and other interesting things don't grow on trees and don't just occur in someone's garden. Those are highly manufactured. And the interesting thing is I delve deeper into some of my research in the food industry and what's happening in the developments of food, and that people don't realize you have neuroscientists in there working with trying to find the pleasure zone where you will be addicted to that food. What's the sweet spot for getting the brain highly addicted so that the consumer will purchase more of that type of food, which we know is going to be high salt, high sugar, highly refined food that is really creating high caloric intake with zero nutrient value. And this is a disaster. I mean, this is an area that has to be turned around. And it's not just from the perspective of type 2 diabetes. And chronic disease in general, with cancer being one of the biggies.
Yeah. Getting back to our roots naturally, just the simplicity of making home-cooked meals.
Right.
You know,
well,
and we can do it. We can do it.
Yep. Take back the kitchen. We've got to find a way to make time, carve out that time in our lives to be able to cook and create healthy food. I mean, we don't have to have, we still can find the more, I suppose, simple and quick ways to prepare our food, but it's still the healthy food that we're preparing that we need to get back to, and not something that's through a drive-thru or comes out of a box and gets popped into a microwave for a minute and you eat it. I mean, we know this is a huge effect. Environment, there's so much we can do from our own personal care items. Why are we putting over 200 chemicals on our body as a female before we step out the door in the morning? And then we are in another environment that we maybe don't control as well, environmental pollutants in the air. But there's things we can do that arm our body to adapt. We are adaptable. So what are the things that we can do? One is start to eliminate the exposure, and two, start to enhance your body's ability to detoxify and handle those exposures.
So it's never too late,
and it's never too late for any age or any stage. This isn't age restrictive. This isn't about just women. This is about men, women, families, young and old. When three-year-olds can have total mastectomies, there's something not right with the toxic burden of a young child. It didn't just accumulate and happen. And the other part of that is, too, we want to encourage the young adults. The number one killer with breast cancer and their aggressive cancers are women that are 35 to 50, and it doesn't happen overnight. We really need to get them to open up to the possibilities of coming and getting educated and taking charge of their health at any age stage. And when you're looking at having a baby, or you're pregnant, or you're having fertility issues, it's all relative. It can go back to the natural basics of allowing your body to function as it was made to be. And we want to just encourage again that getting in and learning this information isn't rocket science, and it doesn't have to be a specific age. We want everyone to be really kind of empowered and propelled and positive body, mind, and spirit, and making some great choices to be healthy and be effectively well as you want to be, and healthy as you want to be, as you deserve, instead of spinning your wheels. So love that we talk about the children too, and there's a lot of those kids, you've seen those videos, they don't even know what a tomato looks like, but they know what ketchup is. It's ludicrous.
It's incredible. You look at the vegetable intake in the U.S. and what people don't realize, it will say there's a certain percentage, and that certain percentage is potato, but what they don't tell you, 50% of that consumption is through French fries. And this is, you're right, the food is something that's really made a sweeping change post-70s, really. And look at the rates of cancer, look at the rates of chronic disease, look at the rates of obesity, and we can't ignore the food industry's role here. There's a responsibility, and there's more people speaking up. And one thing that I think is funny how media loves to turn things and alter the message, of course, one that creates fear or highlights things that take control away. And it's a lot of misinformation. So part of what I'd like to do at the Breast Show is just to comb some of that out, an example being, maybe somebody to say organic eating isn't really impactful, doesn't change the nutrient content. Well, maybe it hasn't been shown at this point, although even this is being challenged and likely will show soon that this is not the case. But at this point, they may say there is no greater nutrient value in a food that has been grown organically than one that is commercially using pesticides, herbicides. But what they haven't maybe told you is that in a study in Seattle with preschool children, when they put on for 9 days a diet of organic food, what was spilled into the urine and collected was significant, 9 times higher levels of pesticide and residue in the children eating the conventional diet versus organic. So, yes, maybe vitamin C content is the same in this piece of fruit to that piece of fruit, but I'll sure leave out the chemicals if I have the choice. And the role of the use of these chemicals post-1970, again, it can't be ignored. And we're speaking up, and as a group, we need to start supporting the people that are growing organic food. And I think that it's a responsibility of all of us to support this and make the movement happen. So these are some of the tips, again, that will be part of the talk that we'll expand on.
Wonderful.
Well, I can
look
hardly
forward
wait
to that.
For your talks. I'm spellbound already. This has been a short little half-hour snippet with, great conversation intertwined in it. But when we get to sit down in front of you, Victoria, and you are able to let it rip, let the smoking gun, put the fire out of that smoking gun, because, this is the thing. This is what the Breast Show is all about. So I can hardly wait. Pat, can you tell us a little bit more about how to get half-price tickets right now?
Absolutely. Anyone can go on www.breastshowintown.ca if you want to be a vendor, if you want to be an attendee, and we have early bird prices up until February 1st. So there's an attendance fee and a speaker fee. Donations go to Prim Canada. And we're really excited. If you do want to participate, you can actually email me at info@breastshowintown.ca, and we can chat further regarding all the exposure that you will have at the Breast Show, not to mention media, social media, and the day of the event, all told. We really want to work hard to have an integrative site and get your message out about what you do, body, mind, or spirit.
So www.breastshowintown.ca. And
yes.
We are just so stoked to have you come and spend the day with us. You can really reach out and touch Victoria Coleman and hear what she has to say and be immersed in this whole integrative world of body, mind, and spirit, and really make change happen in your life. So, Victoria, we're winding down to the last couple of minutes. Can you tell people how to get in touch with you?
Sure. First, I just want to comment that everybody needs to attend that show, because I recommended a few people come. I think you don't come alone. Bring 2, 3, 4 of your friends, family, acquaintances, because the community feel at this show is so strong. And health is better in a community environment. And I think that you'll really enjoy the day there, because it's a lot of fun. It's not just information and factual. There's just a lot of fun and great energy. So I really do hope people will come out to the show and bring along as many as they can. You can reach me at info@unique, which is spelt YOUNIQUE-wellness.com. And the unique is really my emphasis on personalized care for each individual. One shoe doesn't fit everybody. It's not one size for everybody. It's about personalization and understanding what motivates people, but keeping it simple and encouraging optimal health.
That's
fantastic.
What it's all about, isn't it? Just really keeping it simple and letting the magic happen. We are able to heal our own bodies. And that's the thing, is we've given away power to so many things, and it's time to take it back. Take it back and live a new life. Be unique. So I just want to close down our show. That half hour has gone by so fast. Thank you, Pat, for being a stellar co-host, as always. And Dr. Coleman, thank you for being our amazing guest for today. This recording is timeless. This message is not going to have a time limit on it by any means, and it is as relative tomorrow as it was years ago. It's just that fresh ears need to hear it now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wonderful. So this closes out this half-hour segment, and join us for our next amazing show event. Listen to the archive. Visit www.blogtalkradio.com/breastshowradio, and that will take you to everything that we have to offer. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.